678, Chapter 27, Education and Culture in Modern Georgia. Chapter Preview, Terms, Robotics, Consolidated, GI Bill, Quality-Based Education, Curriculum, Georgia Performance Standards, Visual Arts, Philanthropist, People, George Busby, Joe Frank Harris, Roy Barnes, Fidlin John Carson, Ray Charles, James Brown, Allman Brothers, Ludacris, Outkast, Jesse Norman, Caroline Miller, Margaret Mitchell, Erskine Caldwell, Frank Yerby, Carson McCullers, Flannery O'Connor, Alice Walker, Alfred Urey, James Dickey, Natasha Trethaway, Judith Ortiz Cofer. In earlier chapters of this unit, you looked at how politics, the economy, and race relations had changed since World War II. Georgia has also had social and cultural changes. The lifestyle of Georgians in the late 20th century was very different from the way their ancestors had lived only 100 years before. Most Georgians today live in an urban environment, whether that is a small town, a large city, or a suburb. They have far greater access to both consumer goods and to information from all over the world, first made possible by television, then by cable channels, and finally by the Internet. By the 2000s, Georgians are more likely to have a way of life similar to the lifestyles of other Americans than they had only a few decades earlier. In this chapter, you will look at two aspects of the improved opportunities Georgians have had to enhance their quality of life. One area that has made advances in the last few decades is education. From kindergarten through graduate and professional schools, the state provides opportunities for learning and growth. The other important area of progress is the development of rich arts and cultural communities that provide learning and enjoyment outside the formal classroom. Page 680, Section 1, Education. As you read, look for education improvements, importance of the GI Bill, the effects of QBE, terms, robotics, consolidated, GI Bill, quality-based education, curriculum, Georgia performance standards. As Georgia became more modern, having an education became much more important for Georgians individually. Having an educated citizenry was important for the state. Machines replaced much of the physical labor of farming. The modern farmer has to understand scientific methods of farming, as robotics, computer-controlled mechanical devices such as automated tools, replace some unskilled workers. New workers need updated skills, including computer skills. In the service industry, higher-paying jobs in healthcare, education, and nonprofit organizations all require specialized education. Those without an education usually end up in lower-paying jobs that require less knowledge and less skill. In our modern society, there are fewer of those jobs. Pre-World War II. In the early 20th century, Georgia began to improve its education system. To be certified, teachers had to meet higher standards. Children between the ages of 8 and 14 were required to attend school, although schools found a way around that policy. A constitutional amendment was passed to provide state funding for public high schools in the state. In 1906, the state legislature passed the Perry Act. It created an agricultural and mechanical school in each congressional district. The goal was to provide young people, especially those in rural areas, with courses that would prepare them for successful farm life or for college. Eventually, several of the agricultural and mechanical institutes became colleges. Among those that had roots in the Perry Act are the University of West Georgia in Carrollton, South Georgia College in Douglas, Georgia Southwestern State University in Americus, Georgia Southern University in Statesboro, and Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College in Tifton. The University of Georgia, Medical College of Georgia, and Georgia Institute of Technology were all major institutions with specific roles to fill. UGA was the flagship research university. MCG provided medical education for doctors and other health professionals. Georgia Tech was for technological and engineering professionals. The School of Commerce at Georgia Tech added an evening school in 1914, which was later separated to become the school now known as Georgia State University. In spite of all these improvements, by World War II, many Georgia students still attended one-room schoolhouses. Since they were not required to attend school beyond age 14, many did not go beyond an eighth-grade education. The state still had a major divide between rural and urban education. Change, however, was on the way. 1940s to 1960s. The decades since World War II have seen major changes in Georgia's educational system. Standards for teachers rose, and so did their salaries. As you saw in Chapter 24, the fear of desegregation led Governor Herman Talmadge to support a 3-cent sales tax to improve schools through the Minimum Foundation Program for Education. In 1947, the legislature passed a law requiring a 12th year of school. In the 1940s, the state also opened its first technical vocational schools to train citizens for jobs in the state. By the 1950s, the one-room schoolhouses that had served throughout rural areas began to disappear. Small schools were consolidated, joined, to form larger schools divided into grades with teachers in every classroom. Some of the most important changes came under Governor Carl Sanders. He knew that having an educated workforce was important for continued growth. Businesses would not come to a state that did not have enough educated workers. Under Sanders, new schools were built to handle the students of the baby boom generation, children born after World War II. New teachers were added. In 1964, Sanders began the Governor's Honors Program, a 6-week summer program for academically and artistically gifted students. Another important improvement was the addition of more vocational training with many new tech schools. Sanders also made major changes in the higher education system. The system began expanding in the late 1940s and 1950s when veterans started using the GI Bill to attend school. The GI Bill was a program that paid the tuition of those who had served in the war. By the 1960s, the education system had to expand even more as the baby boom generation began to graduate from high school. The junior colleges in Augusta, Columbus, Savannah, and Americus became 4-year colleges, and a new system of junior colleges was built. Faculty salaries increased by almost 1/3. In Augusta, a school of dentistry was added to the Medical College of Georgia. During this major overhaul of the public higher education system, twice as many students began attending college. 1970s to 2000s. In the mid-1970s and early 1980s, Governor George Busby worked to improve education in Georgia. His major accomplishment was founding a kindergarten program throughout the state. Reform also continued under the next governor, Joe Frank Harris, who served 2 terms in the 1980s. His most important reform was a program called Quality-Based Education, QBE, which included testing students, establishing a standard core curriculum, courses of study, providing continuing education for teachers, and further improving teacher salaries. It was the QBE that specified all students would learn about the history of Georgia in the 8th grade. Georgia history had been required since 1923, but the grade level had been determined by each county. In the 1980s and continuing in the 1990s, local vocational schools came under the state of Georgia, which had created a State Department of Technical and Adult Education, now the Technical College System of Georgia. Governor Zell Miller continued the focus on education. In his administration, a controversial amendment to the state constitution passed, creating a state lottery. The lottery money went to fund education, upgrading Georgia schools and colleges with computers and new technology. The lottery also funds the popular Hope Scholarship. In 2000, Governor Roy Barnes created the A-Plus Education Reform Act. It developed testing standards, issued report cards on schools and school systems, raised the age for compulsory, required school attendance, and instituted a program of national teacher certification. In 2002, state teachers and educational experts developed the Georgia Performance Standards, GPS, which were put into effect in stages beginning in 2005. The standards focus on skills and knowledge that students must develop to complete the curriculum, and they define what is expected for successful completion. Reviewing the section, define robotics, consolidation, curriculum. 2. What was the purpose of the Perry Act? 3. What did quality-based education accomplish? Page 685 of Special Interest, Hope Scholarship Program. In 1990, Zell Miller campaigned for governor on a platform that included a state lottery. The money raised from the lottery was to be used only for educational purposes, for Georgia schools, for kindergarten programs, and for the Hope Scholarship Program for higher education. In 1992, the legislature passed a constitutional amendment allowing for the lottery, which voters ratified in 1993. HOPE stands for Helping Outstanding Pupils Educationally. When it began in 1993, the program was only for academically qualified students who needed financial help for education beyond high school. Colleges, universities, and technical colleges were all part of the program. Only those who had annual family incomes less than $66,000 were eligible. When the lottery brought in more money than expected, that cap was raised to $100,000 a year. In 1995, the scholarships became totally merit-based with no income measurement. The Hope Scholarship funds tuition, an allowance of up to $300 a year for books, and some student fees for students. For those who attend Georgia public institutions of higher education, it pays the full tuition. For those who attend eligible Georgia private schools, it pays a set tuition amount. To qualify, students must graduate from Hope-eligible high schools with a 3.0 grade point average on a 4.0 scale, a B average. To remain on Hope, students must maintain a 3.0 GPA while in college. Provisions are made for those who are homeschooled, come from a non-Hope-eligible high school, or obtain a GED. The original goal of the Hope Scholarship was to provide financial help to academic students who might not have enough money to continue their education. After becoming totally merit-based, it also kept some very talented students in Georgia schools who might otherwise have gone to out-of-state schools. This, in turn, raised the ranking of some of Georgia's top universities. Hope also had a goal of inspiring students to study hard in high school and college in order to become eligible for Hope and to remain on the Hope Scholarship during their years of higher education. Georgia's Hope Scholarship Program has been a model that other states have adopted.